Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there, and welcome to an encore presentation of Databank Brawl. This is a show we started way back in 2016 and ran all the way through early 2020. The episodes are buried deep in our archives, so we are re-releasing them starting with episode one.
If you've never heard Databank Brawl, here's the deal. We pick two characters from the Star Wars databank and then make up a deadly fight between them. Pain, shame, and comedy ensue.
Yes, we hope you enjoy the jokes we made on purpose and the random comments about the future of Star Wars, which are now hilariously outdated. So with no further ado, here is Databank Brawl Rewind. As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Databank Brawl. This is the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss them, and then make them fight for our amusement. So how this works specifically is that we get all of the information off of StarWars.com databank articles, so it is absolutely canonical. And then we massage, we discuss, we discover our feelings, and then finally, the fighting will happen. I am your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me is, of course, Mr. Ken Nabsock.
Good to be back on one of my favorite shows in the Star Wars universe. We got some great shows on Force Center, and I'm a fan of all of your shows more than I am my own, for good reason. Databank Brawl actually gets me excited.
And I feel the same way about your shows.
One of us
is always excited about something.
One of us has more self-loathing than the other, maybe. I don't know. But I love this show. I'm so excited.
Awesome. And we're both excited to have Jennifer Lande with us here for this Databank Brawl as well.
Hello there.
Thank you so much for coming and doing this.
Love it. Oh, I'm so excited. Let's do this.
All right. Yeah. So we'll get into the fighting. Okay. So this is our third episode. For our first episode, we did some classic trilogy characters. For our second episode, we did some Force Awakens characters. And for this one, I wanted to do some prequel characters. And then going forward, we'll get to some of the great suggestions that you guys have been tweeting at us with the hashtag DataBankBrawl. But for today, for our big prequel smackdown, we have that classic battle between Rick Olie and Yarel Poof.
Whoa.
I should have mentioned that one of the goals of this podcast is to not only have fun making people fight, making characters fight, but also kind of learn some stuff about the characters and learn what the official Star Wars people think about them based on how they've written their descriptions on StarWars.com. So we're going to start by discussing Rick Olie, then we'll move on to Yarel Poof, and then there's going to be the fighting.
Yes. They describe them. I'm showing, I don't know if you know, this is who
right.
we're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So a fan mentioned in a very fair point that we should describe them physically. So after I read Rick Olie's entrance, I will come to you, Ken, for a physical description of Rick Olie so people can really picture them. So here is what StarWars.com officially says about Rick Olie. A veteran of the Naboo Space Fighter Corps, Rick Olie was the leader of Bravo Flight and had the honor of flying Queen Amidala's Royal Starship to and from Naboo. The honor of carrying her back and forth. That was an editorial by me. Sorry. Here, getting back to the official text. Answerable directly to Captain Panaka, Olie was capable of flying any craft on Naboo. During the Battle of Naboo, Ollie's squadron of N-1 starfighters were successful in destroying the Trade Federation's droid control ship with the help of Anakin Skywalker. So that is officially, I lost myself in judgment and already made a comment about how exciting Rick Olie's life was. But besides my editorial, that's the truth from StarWars.com about who Rick Olie is. Ken, can you give us a physical description?
Yeah, Rick Olie, the actor himself, I think his name is Ralph Brown. He was also the roadie in Wayne's World 2. He wears some flowing robes. He kind of has the hair of a Game of Thrones character, or me now. He is a middle to late middle-aged white humanoid, 1.83 meters tall. Eyes are bluish green and light brown. He was, of course, from the Royal House of Naboo.
He looks like an Uber driver.
He does look like a space Uber driver.
And he looks like you're pretty handsome, but your best years are maybe past you, and maybe things didn't turn out exactly how you wanted.
And what I love, you know, I'm on, not on StarWars.com, but I'm on Wikipedia, and, you know, you want to attribute a cool quote to the character to kind of get you in the mood.
But this might not be canonical, because it's on Wikipedia.
Well, this is in the canon section.
It's in the canon section.
So I don't want to destroy the integrity of your show, but the cool quote they've used to describe and get you in the mood for Rick Olie as a character is enemy fighter straight ahead.
See, he's a straight shooter. Literally, straight shooter. He knows exactly what's going on. Okay, so now we know some stuff about Rick Olie. Yeah. Now I want to talk about our personal reactions and memories. I'll start with you, Jennifer. If the answer is hell no, that's fine. Do you remember this character?
Gosh, no. Like, how did I miss this guy? He had such a memorable quote.
He is famous to, I think, prequel nerds in being Captain Exposition. He explains things the audience needs to know. He's the one as they're approaching Coruscant. He just says, out of the blue, Coruscant! The whole planet is a city. Nobody's talking to him. Nobody said, what is that? And he's got a little scene of he's teaching Anakin how to use things. But yeah, he seems like kind of a standard go-to guy who maybe just blurts out stuff we already know. Like, hey, we just drove by a Target. Like, I know, Rick, I got eyes. I can see that. So that was a little bit of my... And I've always been amused by him because in the lead up to Phantom Menace, all of the action figures came out.
Yeah.
Almost everybody was a cup or at some sort of chalupa discount at Taco Bell. So you had relationships with these characters before you saw the film. And then you realize how some of them, like, this is not an important character. And also, you hadn't yet seen in Star Wars, because it hadn't been political yet, just kind of some people just going about their boring, crappy lives.
Was he an action figure?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I have a Rick Olie action figure. Yep.
No. Yeah.
But he is also likable, I would say. My reaction when I rewatched The Phantom Menace is... He's likable, and he isn't pedantic in his explanation. He seems like, maybe he would actually point out also some stuff like, oh, cool, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What is your emotional relationship with Rick Olie?
Well, I mentioned what I mentioned for a reason. When I saw him, I was like, the roadie from Wayne's World 2. One of my favorite comedy series. And I was very excited. He's the one who's like, I had to take the brown M&Ms out of Aussies. I think that's Rick Olie.
Nice.
And so I was excited. Then he just flew the ship around. But he did. He was in the end battle. He was flying around.
He was also there while Anakin single-handedly took care of everything.
Yellow starfighters flying around. So I have a positive memory of Rick Olie.
Okay.
I was disappointed to learn that maybe there were some people who didn't like him because of his Captain Exposition type of vibe. But I liked him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's positive memory.
That's a little bit of a... Do you have a question, Jennifer?
No, I'm just like, how did I miss this guy?
Real easy. He's not in a lot of the movie. He is there for monumental moments and has no impact on him. Much like our next combatant, Yarel Poof. One of the best Star Wars names ever.
Clearly.
Yarel Poof. And
I did not know this character's name till this moment.
Good. I want this to be an education in some of the horrible corners of Star Wars, the fascinating... horrible in a good way to me. Here is the official StarWars.com databank entry about Yarel Poof. I learned a lot, and I think you will too.
Mm-hmm.
A gaunt, long-necked Quirmian, Yarel Poof has two brains and four arms, which he kept hidden beneath his Jedi robes. Poof was a member of the Jedi Council during the final years of the Republic and was in the Jedi Council chamber when Qui-Gon Jinn returned from Tatooine with the extraordinary news that the ancient Sith had returned to challenge the Jedi once more.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot in there to unpack, but first...
The appearance, you will probably recognize this character from The Phantom Menace as the Jedi with the long, long neck and the weavy bobby head on top of that neck. I think when Lisa Kudrow hosted like the MTV Movie Awards around the time, they did a sketch in the opening and they made reference to this character, not as Yarel Poof, but just like she was kind of next to like, hey, guy, why is your head bobbing? So you definitely have seen him.
Yeah.
I don't think you knew who he was. He is 2.64 meters tall. His eye color is red. His skin color is described as pasty white.
Pasty white. Okay. Yeah. I would have thought of a light green, but no, it's pasty white.
Yeah, not quite a Danzig concert pasty white.
Yeah.
I think
even a casual viewer of Star Wars might remember the weird long-necked alien, because I think there's that excitement to look around. What aliens are in here? And I think if the internet had been at full power, if social media had been around in 1999, I think he would have been a meme real easy.
Because I think he was
sort of a pre-meme meme where I remember doing an improv show in 99, like a month after it came out, and somebody started a Jedi scene, and I think I played Yoda, and my friend just went in the back and just stuck his hand up real tall, made a little Muppet mouth with his hand, and then just drifted a little bit, and everybody laughed their asses off because they just recognized, that's the weird bullshit alien in the background. Yeah. What is that guy about?
Little did we know that was Yarel Poof.
Yeah. So did you remember Yarel Poof?
Yes,
Jennifer?
I did, for that exact reason. I was looking around, look at the aliens. I just was like, I like that guy. I like him.
So you liked him. You had a positive emotional reaction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wanted to know more about him. So now I'm learning more.
Yeah.
I had I'd not describe it as a negative reaction, but I definitely was aware of his character, but was like, what the hell at the time? Like, came out of that movie, Jennifer made this face of pure disgust. How dare you, sir? It was like, what is going on in this movie? Who is that? That's not even a functional neck. Like, what's going on? So my young self at about 23 when I saw this movie, that wasn't my Star Wars. Since then, now I have I can look at it and laugh. And now that I know the name is Yarel Poof, how that escaped me, I don't know. Because there are literally nights where I'll go on either StarWars.com databank or Wikipedia or just a Star Wars visual encyclopedia or dictionary, and I'll look up characters that I don't know. I can't believe I did not
you
know
didn't
this
know
character's
Yarel
name.
Yarel Poof. I think I had an immediate positive emotional reaction to him. I liked that in Phantom Menace there were some aliens who looked truly different. I didn't like Ben Quadraneros, whose face looks a little bit too much like a cartoon, like he's from Wacky Races. But this was like, oh, well, yeah, that's kind of different, but still fits. And I immediately thought, he has to be such an amazing Jedi to protect that incredibly vulnerable neck. Like, he has to be such a great defensive lightsaber user.
I didn't know he had four arms either. So.
Yes. Yeah, I did not know he had four arms or two brains.
Two brains.
And I love this detail in the description on Databank that he keeps his four arms hidden beneath his Jedi robes.
Exactly.
So, I don't know if that means he's walking around with none of his arms exposed or if he's got three showing and one in the back for surprise.
Wow.
And two brains. So when you picture a long-necked dinosaur-like guy, does he have like a secondary brain, like several dinosaurs and I think lizards have the ganglia.
Yeah.
Which is at the base of the spine, the butt brain.
Yeah.
It's chickens. It's why chickens, it's allegedly why chickens run once their
heads
are cut off, because they're still getting some impulse. So I don't know if we're being told by Star Wars that Jarl Poof has a butt brain.
Like, don't worry, his neck can go and he's okay.
Yeah, he can keep fighting for like 2 years.
A little bit like the portion, you know, in the first Men in Black, when Tony Shalhoub's character, his face is shut off and his neck starts growing back. He looks like that a little bit to me, but the neck kept growing.
And I think one of the things that really put him over the top of being memorable is that he didn't just have a long neck and a small head. It was that it was wobbling slightly. Yes, it was drifting a little bit. Like he was
drifting around.
Maybe listen to this, an R&B jam.
Slow moving, swaying to the music.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Any other emotional reactions, thoughts, desires about Jarl Poof?
No, I'm good. I want to see these people.
Okay.
Fight.
Yeah. And so they shall fight.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So Rick Oley versus Yarl Poof. This is going to come up again and again on Databank Brawl. It's cruel to put up a non-Jedi against a Jedi. He's already got his back against the wall. But let's talk about exactly where this fight is taking place. So where do you guys want this epic battle to happen? Is it on Naboo? Is it in space?
Here's where I want it to happen. And Jennifer, you can disagree with me. I want it to happen on a landing slash launch pad on Coruscant. Okay. Not too far from the Jedi Temple. Mm-hmm. Because to me, this fight takes place shortly after the Jedi Council says no to Anakin being added as a trainee in the Jedi Academy, the young Annie.
Yeah.
Because Rick Oley has an affection for young Annie. Like he picked him up from Tatooine, and he's the one who said, oh, the Coruscant's a big city, and it kind of took him under his wing. And so when he hears the news coming down, you know, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan took Anakin up there and they said no, Rick Oley's going to be like, what do you mean they said no?
Oh, I love it.
And he's not going to stalk or wait to pounce on Yarl Poof, but they're going to run into each other, in my mind, on a landing platform. Yarl's out to maybe do, we hear there's some Sith back, there's something going on with the clones. There's stuff going on in the galaxy.
Yeah.
There's a Phantom Menace afoot, and Yarl Poof's going to be heading out.
Yeah,
and
okay.
They're going to run into each other.
I like that. Ooh. I like that. Jennifer, do you have anything to add about the conditions of the fight?
Oh, this is going to be dirty. I feel like Rick, you know, like kind of does stalk him a little bit.
Okay.
And comes out of the shadows. It's like, hey,
yeah,
hey, you.
Like okay, behind so you some guys supply
are,
boxes.
Yeah, so you guys are thinking that Rick is pissed and he wants to take it out on the Jedi Council. And he looks around and says, just based on their appearance, who do I have the best chance at taking out?
Yes.
Wobbly
yes.
Neck.
I'm going to follow Wobbly Neck. His yes. name is Poof. I'm going to follow Poof. All right. So he follows Poof out of Strange Vengeance.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get into my first opinion about this fight. I think that Rick Oley is going to be starting out with not luck on his side. I think he's going to be in a bad place because he is Captain Exposition. I think he is going to yell out, I'm going to fight you now. And I think he's going to spend all that time skulking and hiding and sneaking up on Yarl Poof. But then I think he's going to stand up and say really loud, we're going to fight now on a platform. Did you know the whole planet's a city?
Yeah. Right here on Coruscant, a planet made entirely of a city. Yeah. Okay. I believe that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how should we just go?
Yeah. Let's start describing what we think are going to happen, who we think has an advantage, and why. How is this fight going to turn out?
So the initial advantage is going to go to Poof. Yes, because he is a Jedi, and Oli's just a fighter pilot. He's probably got a laser blaster. And I think Jennifer, you're right. I think Oli steps out from beside behind the shadows with his blaster, maybe at his side. Now he knows better not to. He doesn't. I don't know if he wants to kill Poof. He just wants to knock some sense into him.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the blaster's not maybe factoring in yet, but I think Poof turns around and is like, I know you were there, and like his
for you sad people who can't see Ken, he is drifting as he performs Jarl Poof.
He's swaying to the rhythm, and I think Poof, the robe comes off and the forearms come out, and I think Rick Oley says, "Hey, you've got four arms."
for sure.
Oh my God.
I think that Rick Oley would probably just get panicky as soon as he sees the four arms.
Yeah.
Maybe Yarl Poof, we don't know how he talks. Maybe he says, four arms and two brains, you dumbass.
Yeah.
And maybe Rick Oley gets scared at this point. And I think one of Rick Oley's strengths is not only he's friendly, he's easygoing, he wants to defend Anakin. But I think he also knows that people have his back. That's what's right there in the databank description of that he is used to working with Captain Panaka. He is used to having a whole squadron of people with him. So I think he would get out his comlink and say, started a fight, I shouldn't. We're on platform, I'm screwed. Please get here right now, the rest of all of the various royal guards on Naboo.
Yeah, which for me, no matter the outcome of this fight, so I can jump to this now, at the end of this fight, this to me leads to Panaka resigning and Captain Tyfoke coming on board and having to fire Rick Oley, put him on administrative leave for maybe some bad behavior.
This is why we don't see Panaka
in
Rick Oley
in Attack of the Clones.
Right. Because
I think this leads to some bad stuff.
Yeah. Because they picked a fight. Okay. So they're facing off soon. The lightsaber hasn't even come out and Rick Oley is probably saying out loud, I misjudged you simply because of your neck. What do you think happens next? Do you think Yarl goes on the attack, Jennifer?
I'm picturing it like an MMA fight, right? So we have Rick, who's like a typical boxer.
Yeah.
You know, he's great.
Oh, right.
Standing up. But Jarl Poof is like a jujitsu person.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, well, we got to go with whatever his strength is. Mm-hmm. So I think he's almost going to be like Drunken Master with that neck, you know, kind of like.
Now Jennifer is swaying for the record.
Kind of like disorienting Rick. And he's like, what am I going to do? And he's like, I just see him punching, and you know, Jarl moves to the left, and another punch, and he moves to the right.
Oh my God, the drunk makes so much sense because he has four hands to hold four beverages and two brains to mess up with booze.
There you go.
I think Rick gets in. He gets some shots, and I think Jarl's a Jedi enough to know that I'm not going to lightsaber this guy to death.
Right.
Yeah. I can't do that
unless he absolutely makes me.
A Jedi can. I can't fight a war for you. I can only defend myself. Is what he's basically. Poof is probably saying aloud to Rick. And I think at some point Rick kind of tries to spear tackle him. He tries to maybe. You're right. I think Oli wants to stay up. He's an old. I think he got into some bar fights on Naboo.
Pugilism going on.
Yeah. But I think he knows. He tries to get in there. And I think at one point we literally have three of Jarl Poof's four hands holding Rick Oli back, and Poof saying, much like the kids in the hall sketch, stay down.
I think we haven't given Poof a voice yet, and I think it's
reminiscent of Mark McKinney.
I don't want to fight.
Stay down. I don't want to do this. But the other hand is
like possibly punching him.
Yeah. Pound and pounding.
Yeah. I think, and I think at this point, I think Rick Oli knows that he has made a mistake. There has been an error in judgment. He is saying that out loud, but he is also.
I may have made a mistake, an error in judgment.
My whole life has been errors in judgment. The whole life covered in errors. I think that he is also, he's loyal and fierce. That's why he started this fight anyway, because he is offended by the Jedi's rude treatment of Anakin. So I think he's not going to give up. I think that some of his buddies show up.
Ooh.
Okay. And
some
see
of the royal guards. Panaka.
Not Panaka himself, but some of the royal guards. They've been having a good time in Coruscant.
Yeah.
Checking out the lower levels, and they come running, and they don't know necessarily that Rick started this fight. So maybe they start actually firing at Jarl Poof.
One of the guards has a shirt on it that says, "I survived level 13-13.
That's right. Yeah. I had 13-13 shots on 13-13.
Exactly.
And
so
I think
they come around the corner.
I think.
Hey, what you doing to Rick?
Yeah. And I think they're normally peaceful. Naboo doesn't want to have a military.
They're guards.
They're volunteer army. Yeah, so they're kind of crap anyway.
Right.
But I think I think tensions are high, and I think they start shooting. I think at this point, the lightsaber has to come out.
Ooh,
and I think that Jarl Poof is a defensive master, second only to Obi-Wan Kenobi, whose style is based in defense. So I think he is great at deflecting blasts and in choosing that I'm not actually taking him out. I think he is whacking the Naboo guards in the shin with their blasters and taking them out. So they're falling down, but they're not dying.
Yeah, it's quickly devolving into a Benny Hill sketch at this point. Poof is maybe he's got one against the wall with his one arm. His other arm is tripping like the other two, because I think about three guys have come to help Rick. But Rick is still trying to fight, and he's flanking, going, "I may have made a mistake, but I'm still going to fight."
Yeah,
and I think he's still holding Rick Oli. And for me, it's kind of reaching the fever pitch. The other guys kind of gather themselves up. They're going to charge again. But then, whoosh, like some Jedi Force push holds them in there. And then I think in my mind, at some point, Rick Oli and him separate. And maybe there's a moment where Rick really comes to terms with what he has done and what he's incapable of doing at this point.
So you think it is a standoff?
I think there's a bit of a standoff. And then Rick kind of gathers himself,
straightens his long jacket.
Poof sitting there swaying, going, "Don't come at me, bro. Don't come at me. Stay down. Stay away. I'm a Jedi master." And I don't know if at that point does Rick challenge him or recharge or continue the fight. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have a thought. What do you think, Jennifer, before I
don't know. I think his ego is going to be bruised. I think he's not going to know his buddies maybe have like left, have left him there. And maybe he's an emotional kind of guy. Maybe he's like, what have I done? Who am I?
Yeah.
You know?
And
so
And I think on that note, I think Rick stops. Mm-hmm. And I think he says, look, I've got a good job at the Royal Naboo Volunteer Army. He doesn't know he's going to lose it. He has no he's done enough, right. But he doesn't know that now. And I think he says, I'm sorry. I'd like to express my apologies to you, Jedi Master Poof, about what I've done. But I'm doing it for that kid. That kid's got something.
Yeah.
And you need to take that kid in and train him in the ways of the Force. And Poof's like, who? He says, Annie.
Who?
Annie? That kid is wizard. Don't think he isn't.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think it is logical that they would come to a break in their fighting because they're not natural fighters. Neither of them are aggressive people. No. But I think this is how we answer the question of who actually wins, what we've learned from the characters. I think, bottom line, Rick O'Lee doesn't have anything skill-wise, resource-wise in his back pocket that is going to even out going against a Jedi. And I think he picked the wrong Jedi, because I think, as we know, Jedi, they're trained from a very young age, but they still do have to fight their own emotions. Sure. And I think a Jedi named Jarl Poof, who has a long neck that waves back and forth, people see that much and they go, what an idiot. And then he goes, and I'm hiding three arms and I've got a brain in my butt.
Right.
I think that's a Jedi that gets teased a lot.
Right.
And I think he's got some boiling anger and patience issues.
Absolutely.
And I think Rick O'Lee tries to slow things down and says, I shouldn't have fought with you just because you have a really long neck.
Yeah.
And Poof just can't hear it again and says, I'm going to take your head off. Everybody, my whole life has teased me because I'm going to lose my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you Rick O'Lee.
And Poof is like, look, even that long foreheaded Ki-Adi Mundi thinks he can make fun of me just because I have a long neck. Have you seen that guy's forehead? It's phallic in nature. It's disgusting. It's disturbing. Ki-Adi Mundi is the popular Jedi.
Yeah.
He's the one that's got a lot of favor. And I think Jarl Poof always considered him in direct competition, but always losing to Ki-Adi Mundi.
Yeah.
And I think this is it's all boiling up.
Yeah, and I think he has been mocked so consistently for having a long neck that's easily cut off.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to be like, look, any neck is easily cut off when you're a Jedi Master with a lightsaber by Rick O'Lee.
Yeah.
So this is it.
Yes.
This is his moment where he's finally had enough.
Yeah. Okay. I think Poof Snaps.
Poof Snaps.
Another great Star Wars name. Poof Snaps.
Poof Snaps.
And I think Rick O'Lee only has time to just say, I've made a terrible mistake. And then his head's gone. It's gone.
So in your world, Rick O'Lee killed. I'm saying to put on administrative leave. You're saying he's dead and gone and erased, and that's why we didn't.
I think I could jog back and say.
I'm okay with that.
I could jog back and say that Jarl Poof takes a limb. But in my world where Jarl Poof is so sick of being made fun of for that neck, it's, you know, it's like when a bull sees red, when Jarl Poof is mad, he sees neck.
Which would make me think, if you look closer at Jarl Poof, and you all should do that now, wherever if you're driving, pull over and bring it up on the Google box. I think based on what you're telling me, Joseph, and Jennifer, see, tell me if I'm wrong. I think Poof is Snoke.
There it is.
I think so. I think that is why he appears so tall in that hologram is that Poof has built a fake body to cover his long neck.
He's a little bit, I'll make reference to Men in Black again, he's a little bit like the alien in the old Jewish Russian jeweler. He's piloting Snoke as well, but the face is very reminiscent.
Oh my gosh.
And I think after taking off the head, there was another fight, his emotions, kind of like with Kylo Ren not being able to stop the bowcaster because he was lost on emotions. I think the other Naboo guys maybe jumped him a little bit. Maybe that's where you got the cut. I don't know.
I think so.
By the way, I don't think Poof is really Snoke out there, if you're listening.
Just his secondary brain. His secondary brain is Snoke, maybe. So that is our take on the epic battle between Rick O'Lee and Jarl Poof. Did you want to add any final thoughts on head cutting off of Rick O'Lee?
Yeah, I feel like it's a Mortal Kombat moment, where Rick is kind of like,
finish him.
Yeah, exactly. Finish him. And then there he goes. Oops.
That's
the microphone.
You're
in my
full of anger. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's how we call it. We'll also post on Twitter a poll where you guys can just vote and see just hardcore numbers. Who would win in a fight? Rick Olie, Jarl Poof. As we go along with Data Bank Brawl, we're always going to be putting up underpowered people against overpowered people because it's fun. And sometimes it'll work out the way it should, and sometimes there will be a surprise. But I just didn't see anything in Rick Olie to give us that factor of surprise. He takes away by telling people what he's doing. So that has been this episode of Data Bank Brawl. Feel free to continue to tweet at us with suggestions of individual combatants you'd like or whole fights you'd like to see with the hashtag Data Bank Brawl. We've got a bunch of great suggestions. Our next episode will be one of the battles that you guys suggested, but I wanted to get a classic of Force Awakens in a prequel out there first. But next time, there will be a fight suggested by you here on Data Bank Brawl.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.